Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, and verse 30. And the angel said unto her,
Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call
his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. I do want you to get this portion of the scripture, please. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 38. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Brother Chenille, Brother Arthur, would you quickly slip to the door? There are people trying to find seats, and it's difficult for them. Thank you. I'm turning from the first chapter of Luke, please, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Read with me, if you will. It's nighttime in Jerusalem. A very prominent man by the name of Nicodemus is out in the night, apparently looking for Jesus. He wants to talk with him. Rather timid individual. No reason for his timidity. He's a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Jewish parliament. But anyway, the thing is not so important that Nicodemus is out in the night. The wonderful thing to me is that Jesus is out in the night. Oh, the shepherd of men. John chapter 3, please. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God that be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, be born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Thank God for his living word this morning. If you'll take time to examine the Old Testament scriptures, we'll come to the last part of the history of the Jewish people in the Old Testament. The final chapter, the last chapter, the ending chapter of the Jewish history before they were carried into captivity to the land of Babylon and earlier some to the land of Assyria because of their sinfulness, their idolatry, their gross iniquity. The very last sentence, the last word that the scripture has to say concerning their history is, and there was no remedy. And there was no remedy. How sad. How sad. A people who had witnessed the mighty miracles of God's hand upon their nation from the ancient days of their father Abraham, traced all the way down through the life of Moses, coming up through the life of David, following through the lives of the kings. But finally, the last sentence has to be written in the Old Testament. There was no remedy. Beloved, my Bible goes on to the latter portion. The first chapter of the Gospel of St. 1 John, first chapter, tells me that there is a sin unto death. And I tell you, do not pray for it. That is the grievous sin of grieving the Holy Ghost. Is there such a thing as an unpardonable sin? Is there such a thing as an unpardonable sin? A young lady just this Christmas morning stopped me in the foyer before service, and she looked into my eyes, a beautiful young child, young lady. She said to me, "Will you forgive my daddy? Will you forgive my daddy?" I said, "Yes, dear, I'll forgive your daddy." But there is a sin that the Bible says is a sin unto death. There is a sin that the Bible speaks of as the sin of grieving the Holy Spirit. The Jewish nation had come to this place. There was no remedy. Only the love of God, hear me today, beloved. Only the love of God for the never dying souls of men can come forward in such a mighty, majestic, and marvelous manner and make for us this holy and glorious Christmas story. I am thrilled to know that I do not face you for the next few valuable minutes with merely the fantasies of a fairy tale, but as clear cut as the histories of the Caesars, I come to you with the truths of the Word of God. Notice, please, the angel Gabriel came to Mary. I want to quickly repeat. There was absolutely nothing in the conscience of this young woman that made her of any particular concern to God's purpose and plan in the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, in her own inner nature. None whatsoever. Mary did not possess any spiritual quality that no young woman on the face of this earth cannot possess. God needed a womb. God needed a mother to cradle the human manufacture of the body of His Son, Jesus Christ. But that particular young lady had to fall in direct line with the household of ancient Aaron, of the line of the priesthood, so that the holy child that is born of her could truly fulfill the priesthood of God. The man to whom she was engaged, in Jewish law, she is literally and legally tied with him in matrimonial commitment. It would take a divorce, literal court divorce, to separate them. The man to whom she is engaged, Joseph, falls in direct lineage of the household of ancient King David. And therefore, Jesus being born into the home of Joseph and Mary, qualified legally, qualified in God's sight and men's sight, to be king on this earth and to be priest for you and priest for me. At the same time, I want to say again, before we leave him, may not be able to draw the same picture again. As I've come through this Christmas story this year again, after 46 years of preaching it year after year, I've come to love Joseph more than ever before. I've come to really love this gentleman. I think I can understand why in the mysticism of the church, they've come to call him Saint Joseph. At first, when he learned that his young wife Mary, who under Jewish law as yet is still living with her own parents, although legally bound to him in marriage, at first when he heard the news from Mary that she was pregnant and going to have a son, it was repulsive to him. His whole manhood rose up in indignation. And he had it within his power to do one of two things. According to the law of Deuteronomy chapter 24, he can sentence or send her away and send her back to her parents and call for a writing of divorcement. Or he can hand her over to the Jewish government, which was the Sanhedrin. And if he does, for her immorality, she can be stoned to death. But no. When the same angel Gabriel that came to Mary with the announcement of the remarkable birth of this baby boy came to Joseph, I can see him. I'm sure I can. I think I can see him wrap those strong, manly arms around that little lady. Because under Jewish law, she would be married before she was 20 years of age. And I think I can see Joseph wrap Mary real tight in his arms. And they talk over together what the angel said. I wonder if the tears didn't run down their faces. And I wonder if they didn't say to each other, not once or twice, but many times, just to think that God Jehovah would give us the joy and the privilege of being the parents of Jesus Christ. The priceless privilege of being the parents of Jesus Christ. I come to you this morning, dear family, on the authority of the same wonderful Word of God. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me to awaken within your heart that in God Almighty's sight, there is absolutely no difference between His purpose and His plannings and development and goodness for that family than there is for your family. You cannot show me a single sentence in this Holy Bible that separates Joseph and Mary and the Christ child Jesus from the prerogatives of the divine grace of the living God and the miracles of His redemptive power to come to you, sir, to come to you, dear lady, to come to you, dear young man, young lady, to build within your heart and to build within your home the same wonderful, glorious fabric of faith that the angel Gabriel had brought to them. This morning, I tell you, God brings the same faith to your heart and into your home. Hallelujah. As the birth of Jesus Christ was a remarkable occasion and a blessed, oh, happy time for Joseph and Mary, I want to tell you that in God Almighty's sight, the birth of your children, your sons and your daughters, is equally as wonderful and equally as profitable if you will seek Him and you will serve Him with all of your hearts. Blessed Holy Spirit, help me in the next few minutes to build within your inner conscience of your family, friend, and to awaken within your home today the wonder of God's grace for you, father, mother, sons, and daughters. No difference. I have searched it. I have read it. I have gone through it over and over, and tell me again. I submit to you today There's absolutely nothing in the record that says that for Joseph and Mary and the birth of the Christ child in this moment, that your family is any different than their family. There's only one thing in the record that makes a difference, and that is that if God's Son was going to come into this world, he had to have a body. For he says in Hebrews chapter 6, thou hast given me a body. A body hath you prepared me. And so there's only one way that that body could be prepared, and it was to be manufactured in a mother's womb. And in that hallowed little place, the Christ child is developed, conceived by the Holy Spirit. When that baby was brought into conception, and during those months of development, wonderful, glorious, marvelous days and weeks, months, and then that little baby was born in a manger, there came for the first time and the only time a human person into this world without the stain of sin upon his conscience. If God is going to have a Redeemer for you and me, for a people of whom it is written there was no remedy, sin with all of its evils, its wrongs, its dissipation, its disgust, sin had come to a place in God's sight when he says there is no remedy. They won't listen to my prophets. They won't listen to my message. They won't soften their hearts. They will continually walk in disobedience. I have tried them many times. I have tested them many ways. There's only one way. I will give my own Son, my only begotten Son. I will send him down into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Come for just a moment then. I repeat again. I am fully persuaded that Joseph was not a poor man by any means. You'll never make me believe that they belonged in a little community on the end of the street that could hardly make it from day to day. No, I find no proof for that. But I do find this, that when they came into Bethlehem and that there was no room in the hotel because the place was packed with persons, I'm fully persuaded that Joseph had the money that he could have taken the best room in the house. But there was no room. So Jesus was born in a manger. God had it all planned. God had it all planned. He became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. Would you look into that manger with me for just a moment? Lying there in that straw. Lying there in that nighttime air, a tiny little baby, lovely little child, no different from any other body that's ever been born in this world, no different than yours, mother, no different than yours, only one difference, he's born without sin. The stain of the strain of Adam and Eve that fell in the garden coming down to the hold of the human race has brought death and sorrow to every one of us. But lying in that manger, cradled in that straw, is a little baby. Only one difference. He breathes the same, he drinks the same, he cries the same. The only one difference. There's not a single stain of sin upon his soul. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his only pure, precious Son to be born down into this world. Now follow me carefully. There are 227 chapters in the New Testament. 227 chapters. And the story of the birth of Jesus on this Christmas morning is in less than 3.5 chapters. Less than 3.5 chapters of the whole of the New Testament of 227 chapters is given to the birth of Jesus. The rest of the entire book is given over to His purpose and His plan of saving your soul and mine for the countless ages of eternity. Therefore, this Christmas day, my beloved friend, I say to you that while we're wonderfully blessed of the Christmas season and we annually look forward to this joyous occasion, which tragically has been cursed with the damnation of commercialism and falsehoods, it's a wonderful time, it's a blessed time, it's a happy time, and we're thankful for it. But oh, can I ask you? Can I ask you about the rest of the year? Can I ask you about the rest of our life? Listen again. The Bible only gives 3.5 chapters to the story of the birth of Jesus, shepherds, kings, everything. 3.5 chapters out of 227. From there on, the entire story begins. As Jesus starts His ministry at the age of 30, which was the age of the priesthood, and His first message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I will be doing less than my best this morning for my Master. I will be doing less than my commitment to the God above me. If I fail to say to you, friend, what Christmas really says and what Christmas really means in the mind of God is the message of His Son, Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There was no remedy. There was no remedy. There was absolutely no way to save the race. There was absolutely no way to blot out its guilt in the sight of a holy God. Unless Christmas comes. Unless Christmas comes. And I'm glad that it came. And I'm glad that in the birth of Jesus is the one without sin. One who could stand and face the world and say, which of you convinces me of sin? Pontius Pilate, as Jesus stood before him, says, take him and crucify him. I find no fault in him. Listen, we've talked about the miracle of this birth of Jesus. But I want to say to you this morning, friend, when Jesus turned to Nicodemus in the 3rd chapter of John, and He said to him, except a man be born of water, that is a natural birth, and born of the Spirit, which is a spiritual birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Dear church, the miracle of Jesus Christ's birth in the womb of Mary of old is glorious. None of us will deny. None of us would even think to turn our heart backwards, away from the wonder of it all, that here a splendid young Jewish maiden will qualify to become the human mother for the body of the Christ child that ultimately will be nailed to the cross, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. The miracle of such a birth. But I want to say to you this morning, please, on record with God's eternal book, the miracle of a redeemed soul, the miracle of being born of the Spirit. When you confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, dying for your sin, risen again for your justification, going back to the Father to live and make intercession for you, coming again to reign upon this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you make this confession, When you make this confession, when you have this possession, the miracle within you is a greater miracle than even the miracle of the birth child in the womb of Mary of Beth of Nazareth. Oh yes, oh yes, it's sad, my friend. I beg the Holy Spirit this morning to anoint me with His almighty power. I have labored through the night hours awake, asking God to help me to come to your heart this morning with the greatness and the glory and the grandeur until you'll grasp it and it becomes the vital, greatest moving vitality of your entire existence in this world. My friend, I tell you again, when the Holy Spirit knocked at the door of your life and you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and you pass from death unto life, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore if any man be in Christ, behold, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. A born again experience in simple language, a born again experience of owning and honoring Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life is a greater birth and a more important birth than even the birth of the Christ child in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It's tragic. It's tragic. But the mysticism of the Christian world down through the centuries has so placed her upon a particular pedestal that she seems to be away out there on a throne of glory all by herself. And the birth of Jesus Christ becomes such an exalted situation until it's fully distorted in the light of the truth of the Word of God. I bring you truth. I bring you truth. I bring you undeniable truth. I bring you truth that ought to make you so happy this morning that you want to shout and shout and sing until the very concrete walls will ring within this place. Hallelujah. If there was joy in heaven when the angels announced to the shepherds, there's a Christ that is born in the manger, my Bible tells me there is joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. Hallelujah. The miracle of redemption. The miracle of accepting Christ as your personal Savior. The wonder of allowing the Lord of glory to come and live and to occupy your life is a greater miracle by far than the miracle that transpired in the straw of that little stable when God's Son came into the world. Oh, beloved, please let God stir your heart this morning. Think of it. Think of it. Think of it. Amen. Until the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Hallelujah. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, Brother Robin. Hallelujah. Amen, Denzel. Come on, Noel. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on this morning. Amen. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Have you accepted Him into your life? Is He the Lord of your life? Have you known this born-again experience when the birth of God's Spirit came inside of your life and you were transformed and became a new creature in Christ Jesus? I tell you, beloved, the Christmas that's within you is a greater Christmas than was back in the manger of Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm closing. I've got a friend. I've only met her since I came back from my operations. I'm going to introduce her to you. It'll either be watch night service or New Year's Day, I'm not sure. I want you to meet her. She'll turn you around, I'll tell you. She's 85 years old. She'll tell you that she was a drunkard. A drunkard. She'll tell you, I smoke 4 and 5 packs of cigarettes a day. She said, I was a shattered woman. I was a shattered person. Until one day I heard about Jesus Christ. And I accept him as my Savior. And he came into my life. And I want her to give her testimony on watch night service. At least on New Year's Day. It'll bless you, I tell you what. Amen. Can I ask you this morning, friend? Does Christmas 2,000 years ago in the straw of a stable, does Christmas 2,000 years ago with a Jewish maiden and a carpenter husband, does it mean more to you than your personal commitment and receiving Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life? That birth is an important birth for sure. That birth was a necessary birth for sure. If I was going to have a Lord without sin who could stand in my place and yours. But I come to you with God's authority this morning, precious friend, on this Christmas day, to tell you that if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you'll let him come and by the power of the Holy Spirit be born inside of your life until you become the very womb for the Son of God's presence, I promise you that your experience of your spiritual birth is infinitely greater than the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem's manger. Have you opened your heart? Have you accepted him? Do you own him? Do you honor him as the Lord of your life? I trust that you do. I trust that you do. For hear me now. There's one person in that story back there. One person. Heartless man. An evil man. He was King Herod. There's a 2-year period in between when Jesus was born in the manger and the shepherds found him and the wise men were following the star, and they ultimately, the Bible says, found Jesus in a house. They didn't find Jesus in a manger. But in this period of time, the message has come to Herod that a king of the Jews is born. And this King Herod in his violence says to the wise men very subtly, when you've found him, tell me where he is. I'll come and worship him. I'll also come and worship him. My friend, this morning, that same satanic spirit possesses the lives of so many today. They say I worship him. They say that I'll go to where he is. I'll receive what he can give me. It's a false worship. It's not true. And then one day in the sight of God, my Bible says you reach a point and reach a place where he says, don't pray for that person anymore. Don't pray for that soul any longer. That soul has hardened its heart until there is no remedy. This is Christmas Day. Most wonderful time in the year to personally experience salvation. until the actual birth of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the womb of your life is infinitely greater than the experience that Joseph and Mary saw and had in the manger in Bethlehem. A far greater experience, a more important experience, the powerful same Holy Spirit bringing the glory of the presence of the God of glory Himself down into your life, transforming you, changing you, blotting out all your past transgressions, setting your feet on a new track, starting you down a new road. Wonderful. Would you stand with me, please? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, as we meet together on this glad Christmas morning, in the presence of the Almighty God, we stand as a company of people divided in twain. We stand in two parts. Those who have said yes to the Lord Jesus, and those who are turning Him away. The action of being in service is very honorable, but that's not redeemable in God's sight. I'm asking you, friends, in this moment, as God Almighty looks down and He sees we fall into one of two companies, we fall into one of two places. We either own Jesus Christ as the true Lord of our life, being born of His Spirit. For my friend, we stand condemned just as much as King Herod, who falsely says, "I'll also worship Him." Kind Father, I thank You for this precious people today, and I thank You for giving me the opportunity of bringing Thy truth to their hearts this morning. For You have said that You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Lord Jesus Christ, take our minds off our meals and off our gifts and our activities, I plead, and let the Spirit get right down to the inner part of our being in this moment, because none of us knows what a day will bring forth. The families together this year, but it may not be together next year. Oh God, right this minute, please, I'm asking for every man, every woman, every young person, every boy, every girl that knows down deep inside that they have not been born again. They do not have this greatest experience of the greatest birth of all, the birth of Your Son, Jesus Christ, into their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, I pray that they'll accept Jesus Christ's first message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I pray this morning, Jesus, that they will literally, honestly, sincerely, deliberately look indeed inside their lives. God, You see what no one else can see. And I pray that everyone now, everyone, Jesus, that doesn't know You as a Savior, have not experienced this divine spiritual new birth, this greater, most important birth, of which, God, there is no remedy. I pray that right now they will have the courage of their conviction to let this be the greatest Christmas of their lives, when the greatest gift of all has not been given from their hands, but given from Your hands. And Jesus, You come to live in their hearts. Our heads are bowed. I ask that every eye is closed, so will not in any way embarrass a single person. But how many this morning in this great meeting, you be honest with God, and you be honest with your own heart, you would slip up your hand and you'd say, "Pastor, I'm that person. I've not had this new birth. I don't know Jesus Christ as my true Savior the way I should." I want you to pray for me at this moment. I've seen one hand. Can I see another? Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Is there another? God bless you this morning. Remember that God bless you. God bless you. The birth of your soul, God bless you. The birth of your soul and the power of the Holy Spirit in God Almighty's sight is infinitely greater, I promise you, than the birth of His own Son in the womb of the Virgin Mary. I've seen four hands. Can I see another? Slip it up just where you are and say, please remember me in prayer. One more. Is there another this morning? You'd like to slip it up just where you're standing. And you'd say, I want this real birth, this true spiritual birth. I honor and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Can I see your hand? Slip it up just where you are. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you, sir. God bless you. I plead from the bottom of my heart, sir, the God of heaven hear you and honor you for that hand. Is there another, please? Is there another? One more? Just now? I want Christ to come in and live in my life. I want to own, honor Him as my Savior. Amen. I won't be like Herod. A cold worship. A real worship. I want to know the Son of God as my Savior. I'm so afraid I might leave one person out. Is there just one more? Join me in prayer. Now, Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for this marvelous, marvelous opportunity to share Jesus Christ with this congregation. Lord Jesus, you've seen each hand that was raised. And in doing so, they're saying to you this morning, Jesus, I believe in your virgin birth. I believe that you left the Father's throne and home, came down to this world and to take on my humanity. I believe that you were born of the Virgin Mary. But Jesus, I have to believe that there was a far more important birth. And that's when by the same Holy Spirit, you come with this divine holy word and you are born into my life. And I am born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. You write my name in the book of life. You truly make me your child that I might enjoy your blessings. God, I thank you for everyone that has raised their hands today. I pray for them now in Jesus' name. Savior, I ask that we'll leave this sanctuary with utmost reverence through the remainder of this great day. There'll be mirth amongst the children. There'll be joyous times with families and friends. But underneath it all, my God, I cry for the firm foundation of what this day is all about will stay with us for time and for eternity. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.